every Tuesday we check in at City Hall. And our great friend is the mayor, John Hamilton. Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mike. I'm fine. Thank you very much. It's been a busy few days, as you noted, with the weather. So that gets people hopping in City Hall. But thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, and thank you to your crews. We had Adam Wason on yesterday afternoon about 4:40, just in the guts of everything that was happening. And he did a really nice job painting the picture for our listeners, because it's not as easy. And if someone has lived in a mountain community before and say, well, why can't you just get rid of all this? Well, it doesn't work that way. And let me give you these numbers, because I have them right in front of me from the National Weather Service. The and some of these are obviously, it's the greater Indianapolis area, since we're not a big deal here down in Bloomington per se. But the February two-day snowstorm since 1872, this ranks tied for sixth all time. So 8 inches in change, I guess, was the official, perhaps, in Indianapolis at the airport. They have a listing here from Bloomington of 8.7 inches. But just to put that in perspective, this is the top six ever February two-day snowstorm since 1872. So if anybody's complaining, well, I'm not sure what kind of precedent they had to deal with before. The last biggest one in February was 1984, when we got 12 inches. So we did set a record yesterday.
Well, that sounds like it's useful just to repeat to yourself as you're throwing shovels of snow off your side, you know, off the sidewalk and marching through this stuff to remember, well, this is a serious one, and we don't get them very often, but when we do, it takes some energy. I know there's some sore muscles today and some people who've been struggling to get to and from different important appointments. So I do appreciate the patience. You know, Adam Wason and their crew, they've got about, I'm sure he told you, about 40 trucks that are on the scene at a given time, mostly big dump trucks and then a few little pickup trucks out there, and they've been working tirelessly. This little respite will help us too. And you know, we send them home to sleep. They got to sleep sometimes in between all this, because they're not robots. They're humans behind there. So everybody, I don't know about you, but you know, I feel like people are pitching in and helping and watching out for neighbors, and that's really important.
Yeah, and everybody, again, get your sidewalks done. You've got all day to do that. And we thank the city as well, Mr. Mayor, because obviously we're not going to worry about garage parking or meter parking today. How long is that going to last for so people can either dig their cars out, and there's plenty of them to be dug out, and or can hide them in the garage to kind of get out of the way to let the city crew scrape out some of these parking spaces?
Yeah, we'll try to be generous with that. I don't know that we've made a decision on it, but you know, I know we're going to have a busy day. Well, busy next 48 hours, probably, trying to clean up. And then, as you noted, the weather's going to warm up a little bit, and hopefully at the end of the weekend, we'll be in a pretty good spot. I'm told that all the major arterials and major trunk lines and roads and all are really down to the pavement, which is helpful. That's what helps the sun do everything else. And we're trying to clean up everything else along the way. And as you said, if you can get your sidewalks close, the sun will help on this kind of day.
Yeah, know? And it's reflecting and doing its job and doing greatly. But just to reiterate, though, 40 trucks sounds like a lot. It's really not. We're not Aspen. We're not we're not Bangor, Maine here. It's just and we don't get very many of these. This is why I've got the numbers in front of me here that says the 20. 8-inch plus snowstorm since 1970. The last time that we had over 8 inches was all the way back in 2018 in late March, 24th and 25th. Mm. We had 10 inches. So it's been 3 years since we've had an 8-inch event, and before that it was 4 years. So it just doesn't happen here very often.
No, it doesn't. And you know, we have our snow plows sit in the side of the transit garage of the street department garage till we need them, and then we bolt snow plows onto every truck we have and use them in this weather, and they do a great job, and I do really appreciate it. They're working on coffee and pizza and a little sleep to get all this stuff done. We have 200 plus lane miles and You know, some of them are tricky spots, and but we appreciate it. And I have to tell you, as a mayor, I feel fortunate to have the professional Joe Van Veeter and Adam and all the crew that are really experienced at handling this stuff.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this morning. I'm reading something that says this morning, this afternoon. And we want everybody to know parking regulations as of this moment have been suspended until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. But the suspension from, this is a tweet from the city, does not apply to handicapped spots, loading zones, or fire lanes. It never should. We know our people are smarter than that. So let's be aware of that as we're trying to get all of this up. And then the other trickle down from this, Mayor Hamilton, is obviously our trash service will be bumped back a couple of days as well because, well, we don't have 1,000 people doing all these jobs.
Yeah, you know, we're actually trying to figure that out even as we speak. This afternoon, we suspended trash for today, partly because of cold and partly because of access with the snow. We may need to do that. We don't know yet, so I don't want to get people tilted one way or the other. But if you keep pushing trash days back, you kind of run into next week. So we have to make a decision about whether we'll pick up tomorrow morning and then the following mornings, or whether we may suspend. And I appreciate everybody just trying to be patient. I hope some of us don't really want to drag our carts down through 8 inches of snow to get to the street either. So we're playing it by ear to see what can work, keeping everybody safe. But if worse comes to worst and we have to delay some more, just try to hang on to it for another week, and we'll try to be extra careful next week, picking up whatever we need to if there's some extra.
And your trash is frozen right now anyhow, so that should be at least that will help. That part will help for sure. Now, what else is being delayed is the COVID vaccination sites here in Bloomington and testing sites as well. Are we hoping to get those back online by tomorrow? I know that's not your complete purview. I know you talk to the groups and the emergency administrators daily on that.
Yeah, we talk every Wednesday, and I know that the health department, which runs a 3-day-a-week site, has had to postpone a day or two, and I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, depending on the weather. If you have a reservation with the county system, and that's where you get it down at the convention center, just be by your phone or check your emails to see if there are any changes. I think IU Health has continued to provide there on First Street. They have the big facility that's doing, you know, 500, 700, 900 people a day. And I don't think they've closed. I'm not sure about today, but I think they generally from that hospital keep running as much as possible. And, you know, everybody, I heard last week, people, they didn't have as many people as they thought might cancel their appointments. I think people are motivated to get there. So if just stay in touch with your appointment and show up if you can, unless you hear otherwise, or if you need to cancel, just call in and let them know.
Exactly. And you can dial 211 for more information there to be caught up on everything in that world. I had a tweet for you, and I thought this was great. I'm going to click on it here just because I want to get the numbers right. The Indiana Department of Health reported Monday only 817 new positive cases, the lowest number recorded in nearly 5 months. Well, that has to be here we are in the cold and flu season. We thought we're all going to be trapped inside and this is going to be difficult. Well, I'm not saying it's easy, that's for sure, but these numbers have to please everybody.
We're very, you know, if you had said back March into last year that the worst month was going to be December, I think we all would have fallen over thinking it's going to last that long. On the other hand, if you'd said by February, if you'd told us in December that by February we were going to be at some of these numbers, I think we would have been extremely pleased. You know, the deaths, the hospitalizations, and the case numbers, as you just referenced there, are all going the right direction. That's really good. You know, we're still, of course, sensitive that the UK variant people are predicting could be the major variant in March. So we have to be careful and keep doing what we're doing. But if you had offered us this deal in December to say by February we'll look at these numbers, we would have jumped at it and said, okay, let's take that. That's a good thing.
And especially with the help that you've pointed out multiple times that we're getting from Indiana University when all the students are coming back, how often the mitigation testing goes for them, how often it goes if you live on campus. All of that helps this so people are aware and it doesn't spread. It's not to say that we're trying to – it'd be great if it would just disappear. But as long as we don't spread it, we can manage it. That's kind of the goal in the short term, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I mean – the fact that IU is testing many thousands of people a week is just enormously helpful. And when all their students came back, you know, we didn't know if we were going to get a 8% sick, a 2% sick, or what in fact we got was a 0.2% positivity rate. That means out of 1,000 students coming back, only two of them tested positive when they came back to campus. That's terrific. It's encouraging, and it's really important to know it. So we know our situation, and IU is going to keep testing them. Again, you know, we still have the 15-person gathering size limit because if you're two of those 1,000 and you happen to get into a big party with 40 people, then two out of 1,000 just turned into 30 out of 1,000, and it can change quickly. So we're continuing to impose the restrictions and have the bar and restaurant, you know, table seating only and masking when you're not at your table and those kinds of things just to keep the positives. Cause I hope, you know, we're putting out vaccines as quick as they show up. And our partners, that's just a terrific group of health professionals. And when we get more vaccine, we're going to move quicker and quicker. IU's ready to run many, many vaccine protocols, ready to put shots in arms. So we're just waiting to get the vaccines, and as quickly as we get it, we're going to be getting ourselves in a better spot. So that's encouraging.
And I know you don't get I know the governor doesn't pick up his phone and call every mayor or call every county or call whatever it is. Have you seen or heard anything that's encouraging that would suggest that more is on the way, or are you like me just waiting to hear from Governor Holcomb tomorrow at 2:30 and see what's going on?
Yeah, I don't have any information about that. And I think Governor Holcomb just has to wait by the phone to hear from the federal government what's going to be sent to Indiana. They're now, as I understand, getting, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ahead notice of the amounts. And I know that the national government is really focused on increasing that number. And we hope that Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be approved. I've heard by the end of this month, perhaps, which would create a new group of vaccines, to one shot vaccine, actually, which would be helpful. But it's just catch as catch can. Wait for your turn. When it's your turn, go get your shot. And in the meantime, just keep doing what we're doing.
And I put my name on that list, the one that says, you know, if we get to the end of the day and we've got some extras laying around, yeah. Well, no one's called me yet. So good job, everybody that's getting in there and getting the jab or whatever the terminology is there.
Now, Mike, did they I don't know if, you know, I think it's good to get on that list. Did anybody tell you your odds of winning that? Did you hear the numbers or anything?
No,
you want me to share that with you?
Is it not, if it's not good, that's fine. And the other thing I learned, you have to keep re-upping it. You just can't get on there once.
Every week you have to re-up. And it's great to do that, but I do want people to know that I think there are 4,000 or 5,000 names on that list, the last I saw, and they're maybe doing a handful a day if there are no shows. So, you know, you have to, of course, be eligible anyway. But if you want to do it, it's great. Just don't count on it. But it is good to have a list that we can pull people in.
Yeah, you don't want to throw any of this stuff away.
A little bit like the lottery.
Don't throw it away. That's exactly right. So if you get in and do it. And I've helped out the group, Mayor Hamilton, because I did this a couple weeks ago, and I have forgotten to re-up each week. So somebody somebody has taken my spot moving forward. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. It's always great to talk with him every Tuesday. We get caught up on what's happening here in the city of Bloomington. And we always think we have nothing to talk about until we get started talking. And then we have all these things to talk about, which is great. And the new revisions, tell us where we're at there. And as you always do a good job, you explain it in a language I understand.
Well, this is pretty technical government stuff, you know, zoning and land use, but it's really important. It's a big part of what we do. And you really have to go back almost 5 years when I got into office, we had what's called a comprehensive plan. That's kind of a master document that's supposed to look way out in the future, 20 years, 30 years. What do we want the city to look like physically? What do we want our green space to be like, our tree canopy, our built environment, our streets, our paths and all? And that comprehensive plan is done every decade or so. We were farther behind than that. Once you get that plan done, and that was completed in 2018, and that kind of has a vision for the physical design of the city, if you will, then you next, over the last 3 years, we've been doing what's called the Unified Development Ordinance, which turns that into zoning. It turns it into each piece of property in the city. What are you allowed to build there? How high can it be? How dense can it be? How does it relate to the street? What, you know, where do our streets, how are they changing, and all the paths and all that? And the Unified Development Ordinance is also a big deal, and it affects, how our city develops. And over the last 3 years, we've been working on that. It's a bunch of public processes. And in October last year, don't worry, I'll get to today before too long. In October, we put out a public draft, we called it, to say, here's a proposal. And it has a map with some new zoning designations, and it also has some new rules. So I'll just give you a couple examples. One new zoning designation was we decided to create some areas in the city where we purposefully really want high-density student apartment development. And not just kind of, scattered around, but we really looked what's close to the campus. Where are some good places for new student development? And you might 17th and done with the Evolve, or where the Motel 6 was, is about 1,000 units going in there, and places close to campus where students can easily access either the bus system or walk. So that was the new zoning area, and we have to decide exactly where on the city is the map going to say, multi-student zone. A second example of a change is dealing with what some people call the missing middle. And I swear I won't go on too much longer, but it's kind of
no, this
how
is
the
important.
City develops.
Go ahead.
Before World War II, there were quite a lot of different kinds of buildings built in our older neighborhoods with single-family homes and duplexes, and you'd see small apartment buildings with 4 or 12 units or 20 units. And since World War II, it's been a much more kind of both ends of the spectrum. You either often have a single-family home or an area that's all single-family homes, Hyde Park or something like that, or you have larger apartment buildings. And we have much less being built in what's called that missing middle of kind of duplexes or quads or 8-unit apartments or others. And so one of the things the UDO draft tries to do is encourage more of that missing middle. That's a change, and it gets people interested about, well, I don't know if I want that built in my single-family neighborhood, whether I want a duplex or a fourplex, and I'm not sure that's a good thing. Who's going to live there? What's it going to do to my traffic and all that stuff? So that's what we proposed last fall, was looking at some densification, frankly, of letting more people live close to the campus and close to downtown, close to jobs. Just last week, we did a significant revision. We kind of stepped back and made a little more incremental the efforts to say, how do we evolve these neighborhoods that need to keep changing, but we don't want to do it in a precipitous way. So there's a new version out that kind of slows down some of the missing middle. It makes sure everything is done through a public hearing, what's called conditional rather than permitted. We reduced the areas of the city where you could put in a quad, a fourplex or a triplex to some corridors in certain areas. Anyway, change is hard. Cities evolve, of course. We're 203 years old now, 203 years old, and we're going to keep changing, and that's what this ordinance does. And the next steps are in March and April and maybe into May. The Plan Commission and the City Council will continue to review these proposals, and I think we'll come out with a plan that will help steer us going forward.
And it's not easy, but I was thinking about, have you had more participation because of Zoom? Is that, or has it been just the standard participation that goes on in these? I know sometimes it's hard to get down to these meetings and do that. Maybe it's easier to flip on Zoom and do it. What has been the feedback?
We are actually finding more public engagement and feedback with the Zoom meetings. It's easier for people to monitor a two-hour public meeting from home at dinner or whatever than having to go down and watch it. And I bet you when we get back to in-person meetings, we'll continue to have the Zoom and functions that let people do it. And, you know, all of this, I should just mention, all of this is meant to help our community be more inclusive, make sure people can afford living in all of our different neighborhoods, try to make sure we have a mix of kinds of housing so that, you know, we're open to inclusive development and growth, affordable housing, sustainability so that more people can walk or bike and travel around in different ways. So there's a lot of values that underlie all this. But as you might imagine, when you go from a value like affordability or sustainability into here's what you can do on this property, on this piece of land, it can be controversial and complicated, but that's what we're in the middle of.
Well, and when you get all the parties together and get it all out there on the table and figure out how it's going to move forward, and we'll keep an eye on that as we talk each Tuesday just after 4:05. You've got some arts grants that you're trying to get out to the folks as well.
We did, Mike. You know, I talked about Recover Forward, trying to help our community get through this pandemic and recover forward in the right way. We did earmark some money for these amazing arts organizations and cultural organizations that are so deep in Bloomington's DNA, and yet they're struggling mightily to, you know, they can't get audiences, and it's very difficult. So we announced another set to more than two dozen organizations, $40,000+, just trying to help them convert, figure out how to be nimble and get audiences and get through this stuff. And I love, you know, Bloomington loves our arts as I do, and these organizations are really scrambling. So we were pleased to announce that today. These are funds that the city council appropriated and approved, and we're really glad to be able to share that and hope the artists can keep us distracted and entertained as we get through this stuff.
And, of course, now that it's going to be a running joke on this program, have I missed the State of the City speech yet? Have we done that yet?
Not yet. You got 9 days till you miss it. It's Thursday, February 25th. If you want to miss it, mark that down at 7 p.m., and I'll encourage everybody to come. It is a chance to look back at quite an unusual year and take stock of where we are and talk a little bit about where we're going at the high level.
Well, we will get an inside scoop from you next Tuesday. We won't go into all the details, but maybe some of the bolder agenda points. Well, we talk about almost all the agenda points almost every week, but I'll be interested to see what moves or gets to the top of your list for that would be Thursday, February 25th presentation. That will be on Zoom just like everything else. I'm taking it, right?
Yes, it will. It will be.
What is your Zoom bill at the city these days, by the way? Do you have them on retainer? How does that work?
I can't share that with you, Mike. I'm sorry.
That's it. We're going to have a bake sale or we're going to have to car wash that to get that covered. But the folks at Zoom are – or whatever video conferencing service you use. I'm not shilling for Zoom here, but that's how things are getting up. I just find it interesting, though, that more people are participating. So I don't think Zoom's going away, is it?
No, I really don't. I mean, we absolutely are seeing more people and people, different people who can participate in a board meeting, a commission meeting, a council meeting, a public meeting through Zoom, but they may not be able to travel to get down there and spend an evening or a middle of the day meeting, but they can do it on Zoom, and that's a great thing. So I do think it's going to stick with us to let us keep pulling people in and getting them involved.
Yeah, it removes a hurdle of being involved. You can't say, well, I couldn't make it, or I don't want to park, or I don't want to do that. Well, you don't. You can park it right on your easy chair and watch what's going on. I saw a headline on the B-Square Beacon about the disputed Bloomington Plan Commission seat that made me think about it when you're talking about where are we at in that legal dispute?
It's in the hands of the lawyers and the courts, Mike. I think there's an appellate court proceeding now about it, and I have to tell you, I don't lose a lot of sleep over it. But
okay.
It'll get resolved eventually, but I don't know a timeline on it, I'm afraid to say.
Okay, so they don't push you to the front of the line, or you don't. It's not like the old days at the BMV where now serving 37. It's doesn't work that way, huh?
No, at least I don't know about it. I mean, this is a kind of an inside baseball thing, and the Plan Commission will be actually they're going to be pretty busy working on the Unified Development Ordinance over the next couple months. So they're just going to keep plugging away and doing their work, and we'll wait and see if anything comes out of that court action. I kind of don't expect anything will change, but we'll wait to see.
All right, sounds good, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, as always, for your insight and your time, and we'll do it again next Tuesday before the big State of the City speech coming up on Thursday night. Thank you, my friend. Stay warm, and take your Advil if you've been shoveling. I need to start taking my own advice here, as I'm a little sore here after a couple sessions yesterday.
Really nice to be with you, Mike. Everybody stay safe, and I'll talk to you in a week.